So here we are in the Gospel of Luke, we're in chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. A couple of days ago, we got a taste, a reminder of what summer is like here, usually in July or August, but we got that taste early on, where it was 80 degrees. Now, praise the Lord that it was cool before that happened, and then it was cool after that happened. So the houses weren't too bad in that span in the middle. But it does remind you, oh yeah, this is a thing that's coming. And so some of you may have thought about, okay, where the air conditioner is and just sort of put a plan in place. Okay, so this next week it looks like it's not bad, but I'm going to need to bring this air conditioner up and plug it in and that sort of thing. Because what you realize during the summertime when it's that hot outside is that ceiling fans are helpful. But they don't do exactly what an air conditioner does. So they fall short. That ceiling fan works the air around, helpful. Where it's not as helpful is when that air is 85 degree air. And then you can move it around all you want. But that's not going to do much. No, what you need is for that air to be transformed. What you need is for that air to be reconditioned. That's what an air conditioner does. It takes that air, transforms it, whatever's happening in there. I know it's heavy. Whatever's happening requires weight. I know that because I have to carry that thing up the stairs. But I don't know what's happening in there. One of you engineers can explain it to me. It seems like magic to me. But anyway, takes in that air and it spits out air that is fundamentally different than the way that it took it in. This is what God does to us. If you're a Christian, this is what God has done to you. And he does it by changing our hearts. He makes us new people, or the way Jesus says it in this passage, he makes us into new trees. So hear the word of the Lord. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. Jesus says this, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who's building a house, who when building a house dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Well, it's good to remind ourselves this section of Luke that we've been in for the past couple of weeks. So it starts in verse 20 of chapter 6, goes to verse 49, the end of our passage this morning. This is all one sermon that Jesus preached to a big crowd of his disciples. And the passage we come to this morning is the end of that sermon. It's Jesus wrapping up everything that he said in the majority of chapter 6. And in this sermon, as we've seen the past couple of weeks, Jesus tells us to do lots of difficult things. So he tells us to be okay with a difficult life in general. So you'll have a difficult life. You should be okay with that. He sort of says that. He's told us that we'll definitely meet persecution as Christians. And when we do, not only do we put up with it, we should actually rejoice in it, in the midst of persecution. He's told us we should love our enemies, that we shouldn't seek revenge. He's told us that we can't ignore our own sin. So these are all difficult things, all of these things, difficult things to do. And so the natural question at the end of a sermon like this is, well, how can we do this? How can we do these hard things that Jesus is holding out? Well, that's the main question I think Jesus is answering in this final passage. And he begins by talking about trees. So look at verse 43. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush." Well, as Jesus oftentimes does, he sets up an illustration. And he sets it up from daily life, so everybody is familiar with this thing that he points to. And it's an undisputed fact. It's something that everybody gets to see. And that's what he does here. He talks about trees. And his point is that trees produce fruit that goes along with that particular kind of tree. So verse 44 again, he says, "For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush." So in our backyard at the house, we've got apple trees. We have blackberry bushes. Well, every time summer rolls around, we don't have to guess which one of those trees is going to produce which one. No, the apple tree produces apples. The blackberry bush produces blackberries. That's what happens, right? Certain trees produce the kind of fruit that goes along with that tree. That's how fruit trees work. And God created the world this way. This isn't an accident. God created the world to work this way. Mike read Genesis 1 earlier. Listen to that again. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. It's day 3 of creation. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. So God didn't create trees to produce random kinds of fruit. He could have done that if he'd wanted to. That sounds crazy to us because God didn't create our world that way. No, he created our world where apple trees produce apples and where blackberry bushes produce blackberries. In fact, that's why we name trees what we do, right? It's been this way throughout all human history. Jesus says it in verse 44. Each tree is known by its own fruit. So it's an apple tree, not because we like the sound of that name, it's because it produces apples. Those two things fit together. Those fruits are fixed because they come from a particular kind of tree. So this is where Jesus starts, with something everybody would agree on, that everybody would be familiar with. God has designed trees to produce fruit that goes with that particular kind of tree. But it's not just trees that work this way. God actually created people to do the same thing. Verse 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So just like certain kinds of trees produce certain kinds of fruit that fit, Jesus says it's the same with people. And he gives two categories here. He talks about the good person and the evil person. And just like the apple tree produces apples, in verse 45, Jesus says the good person produces good and the evil person produces evil. Well, before we go on, we should think about what Jesus means by good and evil. So as Christians, we know the Bible tells us a lot of what's good and tells us a lot of what's evil. But Jesus really sums it up in verse 46. So this is how we know as humans what's good, what's evil. It goes back to this. Verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. So this is doing good. Doing good is listening to Jesus, trusting Jesus, doing what Jesus says to do. Because in his life from start to finish, Jesus showed us what a good human is. He was the prototypical perfect human. So he did what none of us had done. So Adam and Eve were supposed to do it. They didn't do it. Israel was supposed to do it. Didn't do it. David, the king, supposed to do it. Didn't do it. You supposed to do it. Me supposed to do it. We haven't done it. We're broken, bad people. Jesus came and he was finally good. The first good person that the earth had ever seen. So that's what good is. It's doing what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus is good. But if you're thoughtful, you realize this is a problem. It's a problem for us to realize, okay, that's what good is. Is doing what Jesus does and what he says to do because we're born as sinners. This is what David's talking about in Psalm 51 where he says this. He says, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are born into this world not as blank slates morally, right? That's what the world would say. You know, everybody's born in sort of as an empty container almost, and then they get to choose whether they're going to be good or bad. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says we're born as sinners. We're born as those who naturally oppose God. So we have an infant son. He's 2.5, I think. His bent, the way that he's conditioned, his heart is naturally opposed to the Lord. Now, that doesn't come out much now, but as he gets older, we'll see it come out more and more, just like it did with you. As you grew, we're born into this world opposed to the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and following is a helpful passage on this topic. Paul's talking about man and his natural state, and he says this, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Right? So he doesn't say like, hey, listen, almost nobody. He doesn't say that. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. It's pretty adamant, isn't it? The Lord's making it really clear. Hey, the way we're born into this world, our natural state, we are opposed to the Lord. We're born as his enemies, and we like it that way. We're born rejecting God. And so what that means is, humankind, we're also going to reject Jesus. So there's the opportunity to do good by acting on Jesus' words, but on our own, no human's going to do that. Because on our own, we don't like Jesus. Well, what this means is that on our own, we're not able to be one of these good trees that Jesus is talking about here. And that only leaves us with the only other option. As Jesus says in verse 43, we are the bad tree. And again, that's because we naturally produce bad fruit. In fact, Jesus goes further than this to say that it isn't even fruit. It's so bad, it's not even considered as fruit. What he talks about here is that it's like thorns. So we're supposed to produce blackberries and apples and good stuff. We don't even produce like rotten apples. We produce thorns, and not even edible. And Jesus has told us a lot of stuff in this sermon to see what this looks like practically. So a bad tree produces hate for enemies and cursing. He's talked about that in this sermon, where you're cursing others or using your words to hurt people. And it produces revenge and unforgiveness. Like verses 46 through 49 talk about, it produces a rejection of Jesus' word. So that's the kind of fruit that our natural human heart produces. Well, what Jesus is reminding us of here is that humans don't produce that kind of fruit for no reason. It's not random. The fact that our natural heart produces that fruit, it's not a random thing. It comes from somewhere. It comes from inside of us. And the place it comes from is our heart. That's what Jesus says in this passage. Now, we need to understand the word heart as it was used in the ancient Near East, so the culture the Bible is written in, and the way that the Bible uses it. In our day and age, we use heart and we put it in distinction with your head. So your head and your heart, right? They didn't do that. That's sort of a new phenomenon. In the Bible, when the word heart is used, it doesn't just mean sort of your emotions. It's basically everything about you. So your inclinations, your will. When you decide to do something, those decisions, the Bible says, come from your heart. The type of person that you are, it's the source of your reasoning. All of these things in the Bible are summed up under heart. So the heart really was who a person was. Well, with that understanding, look at verse 45. Jesus says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. And in this short verse, Jesus answers a question that the world has answered 100 different ways from what Jesus says here. The question is, why do people do bad things, right? So why do people exploit other people? Why do people steal from other people? Why do people hurt other people? Why does someone walk into a school, shoot children? Why does that happen? That's a question that people have. Well, Jesus' answer is because we have bad hearts. That's his answer to that question. Verse 45 again. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. So as he says here, the treasure that's stacked up in the evil human heart is evil treasure. And Jesus didn't invent this teaching in 30 AD, right? The Old Testament teaches the same thing. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Helpful to help our kids understand that, right? Because oftentimes in the world, listen, they are hearing the exact opposite of that. I wish I had a dollar. My kids could go to college if I had a dollar for every time a grown-up when I was little told me how good my heart was, right? It wasn't until I met Christians to where they pointed me to the Bible and I realized all of a sudden, oh, wait, my heart isn't good. I actually have a problem that needs an answer, right? If our kids think their hearts are good, the way that the world is almost uniformly telling them, that's going to be a problem for them. We need to help them understand, no, your heart's just like mom and dad's heart. Your heart is desperately sick, is deceitful. The way we're told in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're born with sinful and defective hearts. And so when a sinful person is about to produce an action, so like we talked about with the heart, you're drawing from your heart for your actions, because that's what the heart does. It's the center of who you are. When a sinful person wants to produce an action, they draw from their heart. Well, all that's in there is evil. So that's all they have to draw from. That's why people do bad things. It's going to be an evil action. Now, we need to recognize something. You hear me say that, and you might be thinking, okay, well, wait. But I see non-Christian people do lots of good things. So how does that fit? Because you're telling me their heart's evil. So when on our own, natural humans, when we draw from our heart, all that's in there is evil, and so you only produce evil. Well, there's a bit of nuance here. So think about it like a pirate ship. Like, if you're looking at a pirate ship, which, think of an old-timey pirate ship, right? I don't know exactly how pirates operate these days. I know they're around, but let's think about, like, in the cartoons that our kids watch. Pirates. You see a pirate ship. Let's say you zoom in on it. And so you're not thinking about the overarching task of these pirates. You're just looking real close in a day in the life of these pirates on this boat. They would look like good guys. Some of them would. There's probably a lot of camaraderie there. There's probably some sharing that happens. They're probably joking around. You would zoom in and you would say, oh, no, these guys look like good guys, right? It's only when you zoom out and you realize that they are pirates and that their whole scheme, what they're doing is stealing things that don't belong to them. Well, that's when you get a picture. Oh, wait, yeah, these guys are bad. So, yeah, zoomed in a way, they're doing good things to one another. But if you zoom out and look at the direction of their life, you realize, wait a second, what they're doing is bad fundamentally. Their entire task is an evil one. Well, that's how the world works. If you zoom in, you see a lot of people doing good things for one another. And praise the Lord for it, right? That's God's general grace. But it's only when you zoom out and you realize that the world outside of Christ, in every venue of life, what's happening is they're stealing glory away from the one true God. That's the big picture of what's happening. That's a pretty bad thing. And when you were outside of Christ, you were doing the same thing. And so what we're doing is bad. We're producing bad. And again, those actions are coming from a heart that's sinful and defective. So in our own sinful nature, we go to our hearts to reach for an action. It's going to be evil. So every now and then, if our kids are asking, what they can have for lunch, and in particular, Jude will ask. He loves ham, and so he'll ask for some ham. Well, oftentimes the ham is gone because it's hard to figure out, right? Do you get a pound? Do you get a quarter of a pound? Do you get half a pound? Because you don't want that ham to go bad, because that is a bummer. You know, deli ham's not cheap. So it's like you've got to hit it perfectly, right? Like you're an accountant, like drawing anyway. So they'll ask for ham. Jude will ask for ham. Well, there's none in there. So I can say, no, Jude, we don't have any ham. Well, every now and then I actually have to open the refrigerator and say, here's the meat drawer. There's no ham in there, right? So you can't have any because it's not in there. That's the natural human heart. There's just no good in there. So we go to reach for an action and it's not there. It's because we have bad hearts, or the way Jesus says it here, we're bad trees. Well, the big problem with this is that we've already seen in the Gospel of Luke what happens to bad trees. Flip over to chapter 3 of Luke, verse 9. This is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He's preaching and preparing the way for Jesus before Jesus starts his ministry. And under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, John says this. It's chapter 3, verse 9. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we all get this, right? This is what we do. If you've got a dead tree on your property, in particular if you've got little kids or if the tree's close to your house and you know it could come down, this is what we do. We try to figure out a way to get rid of that tree. And then once it's down, we get rid of it. We burn it. We destroy it. That's what God will do to bad trees one day when he returns to judge the world. Jesus gives a different illustration at the end of our passage. Look at verse 49. Back in Luke 6, Jesus is talking about people who produce the fruit of disobedience to his word. So bad fruit, and he says this, verse 49. But the one who hears and does not do them, talking about his words, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the one who produces bad fruit, he says, is like a house built without a foundation that's going to fall down. When the waters hit it, it falls immediately, Jesus says. And it goes all the way down. He's emphatic about this. He says, and the ruin of that house was great. So the bad-hearted person, their life is going to end up being a disaster. So this bad heart that we're all born with, it's a problem for us. But as we're used to hearing in the Bible, there is hope. So Jesus doesn't just consign all humanity to destruction. We know that because in verse 48 and 49, he doesn't just talk about the house that falls down. He also talks about the house that stands up because it's built on a foundation. In verse 43, he doesn't just talk about the bad tree, he also talks about the good tree. In verse 45, he doesn't just talk about the bad person, he also talks about the good person. So there is hope. And this is good for us to remember. So man is born sinful, and even as Christians, we remain sinful. However, in the gospel, God does grow us in actual holiness. This is something the Bible teaches. It's a process theologians have called sanctification. You may have heard that word before, where God grows us in holiness. In Christ, God really does make us better people. And he is so good at this job. P.S. God is good at everything he does. He is so good at this thing as well, sanctification, that those who he gets his hands on can actually be referred to as good. Jesus says it here in verse 45, the good person. We saw this with John the Baptist's parents back in chapter 1, verse 6. You don't have to turn there, but they're described this way. And they were both righteous before God. We see it again at the end of Luke's gospel with one of Jesus' followers named Joseph. Chapter 23, verse 50, Joseph is called a good and righteous man. So there is a way to be a good man. There is a way to be a good tree. Of course, the question is, how does this happen? Well, the key is found in verse 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. So the way to become a good person, in fact, it's the only way to become a good person, is by being given a new heart. So the heart that we're born with is full of evil. So we have to be given a new heart that is good. And the good news for us is this is exactly what the God of the Bible does. And if you're a Christian, then this is exactly what he has done for you. When you became a Christian, God fundamentally changed who you are. The word that theologians have used to talk about this is regeneration, or new birth, or being born again. The Bible uses several different illustrations to paint this picture, and I spelled out four of them on the back of the bulletin if that's helpful for you to look at, with one passage sort of summing up those four different things. All different illustrations God uses to paint this picture of him making us new. So the first one, the Bible does this often, it will describe us as people who God has recreated. So God has recreated us. The picture is that as Christians we're evil, or as creations, we're evil to our core. That's what we were talking about a minute ago. And so God has to recreate us into something good. And he does this through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so you're a Christian, you're trusting in Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're recreated. Another way this fundamental change is described is as new birth. So we've been born as evil people, and so God gives us a new birth so we can be fundamentally a different kind of person. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. A third way this fundamental change is described is as a resurrection. So in other words, being brought back from the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Our old self has to die. And then God raises us up with Christ. Romans 6, 4. We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death. Note, not in the manuscript, but note the imagery there, right? In baptism, we are lowered down into the grave, raised back up, immersion, going underwater. Bonus. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I'll read it again. We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So we're resurrected. He takes a corpse, makes us alive. But the fourth illustration the Bible gives is what Jesus hints at here. And that is that God gives us a new heart. We get a heart transplant. Ezekiel chapter 36. A lot of you will be familiar with this passage. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. God's talking. He says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone." That's what we're born with. "I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules." So to sum up everything we've been saying, to avoid the fire, you have to be a good tree. To be a good tree, you have to produce good things, because that's how a tree is known by its fruit. But for you to produce anything good, you need a new heart. And that new heart is only available from the God of the Bible through Jesus Christ. It's something that only God can do. That's why in all those illustrations, if you think about every one of them, you can't do that thing to yourself. You can't recreate yourself. You can't rebirth yourself. You can't resurrect yourself. If you're dead, you're dead. You can't give yourself, even so we have doctors in this room. Even these doctors couldn't give themselves a heart transplant. This is something that only the Lord can do. So like we mentioned earlier, it's like this with the air conditioner, right? You can try to cool off by blowing that 85 degree air around, but that doesn't do the trick, does it? P.S., that's what the world tells us to do. That's how the world tells you to be a good person. Oh yeah, just reach down in your heart and just rework stuff, right? That's not going to do anything because you can't cool that air off. You can blow it around, right? You can do that with different habits and a different way of doing things and a different way of talking. Yeah, you can do that all day long, but that air is not changing temperature. No, you need that air to be reconditioned. Only God can do that, and that's what he does for Christians. That's the way Jesus talks about in our passage. He makes us into new trees. And so if you're a Christian, this is the only reason. This has happened to you if you're a Christian. You've been made a new creation, all these images we just talked about. This is the only reason you are able to do anything good. So the only reason why tomorrow morning you can do things that are pleasing to Jesus is because God has recreated you. Because God has given you a new heart, made you a new tree. You've been made a new person. And Christianity is unique among religions when it comes to this teaching. So every other religion says that you do good works, and that's what makes you a good person. So you start with the works, you do enough good works, and then you become a good person. So one flows to the other. So in other words, you produce enough good fruit, and then you'll become a different kind of tree. A tree that God is pleased with. And this is just another way of saying, by the way, you have to save yourself. What every other religion says. Save yourself. Be good. Do enough good things, you'll be saved. God will eventually consider you good. Well, that doesn't work with trees, and it doesn't work with people either. And that's why Christianity reverses this. So the gospel says that's backwards. The gospel says, no, you don't produce enough fruit to become a good tree. The gospel says, no, right off the bat, because you trust in Jesus, he's going to make you a good tree. He's going to give you that status first thing, and then you will produce good works. Christianity flips that worldly thinking on its head. It says the heart has to be the starting point and then work its way out into your hand. So think about it this way. Let's say you've got a pipe that bursts in your basement. And so you walk downstairs and there's water pouring out of this pipe. Well, the way that the world does salvation is to walk down and get a mop and a bucket and just start like mopping it up as much as they can. Like, oh yeah, so this is the situation. Let's fix it by mopping this stuff up. Jesus is the only one that walks down there and says, how about we turn off the water? Okay? Let's turn off the water first and then we'll go from there. And then we'll clean things up. This is why a lot of people don't come to church, right? Because they think, no, I've got to clean up the basement first. I've got to get this water up first and then I can come to the church and then we'll figure out everything else. Please, no way. You know what's going to happen if you mop up that water? If it's still spewing out, it's going to keep spewing out, right? Jesus says, no, you have to go to your heart. That's what the Lord does. He gives us new hearts. And then that's going to work itself out. Praise the Lord, we're going to get to dry the basement. It's not going to be perfect. There's still going to be some leaks. But it's going to be noticeably drier than it was before. But you have to start by turning off the water, which we can't do. Only the Lord can do that. But that's what he does. He makes us a new creation. He goes back to our heart. And this is particularly relevant to you if you're here and you're not a Christian or you're not sure what you think about Jesus. If you think back over your life, you may have noticed that there are certain things that you just can't get rid of them. You've tried 100 different ways and you've sought counsel from people and you've read books and certain things you can change. But there's these big things in your life where you're like, man, I just can't fix this thing. I just can't get past it. Well, It's because you're the same way that we're born into this world. We're dead trees. We can't produce good fruit on our own. When we try, you know, if we've got a dead apple tree in our backyard, we can go and try to staple apples on that tree. But that's not going to make that tree alive, right? We're just stapling apples on it. That's what the world tells us to do. Yeah, just staple a bunch of apples on it. Figure out a new rhythm. Figure out these different habits, right? Figure out this different way to talk, this different way to think. But no, the problem is our hearts. We need a new one. That's exactly what God gives to people through Jesus Christ. So what we say to folks, what the Bible says to folks is, Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus by placing trust in him, what he did on the cross to pay for our sins, and trust that he's the only one that recreates us. This is the message of the gospel. And again, for those of us who are already trusting in Jesus alone for our salvation, this is exactly what has happened to us. We've been made into new trees. We've been given new hearts that produce good. This is what Jesus is getting at. But we should know by now that Jesus never teaches us anything just for information's sake. So he doesn't tell us all this just so we can think about it and feel smart. Oh, okay, I understand this verse better. And then go home feeling smart. As Jesus always does, he has an agenda with this passage. And his agenda is for you to as a Christian, be who you are. For us to be the new tree that he tells us that we are. In verse 43 through 45, he's reminding you that you've been made into a new tree that produces good fruit. And now in verses 46 through 49, he's telling you to act like that new tree. So in other words, if you're a Christian, be who you are. This is a central teaching that runs throughout the New Testament. Something you'll notice in Paul's letters, in particular in the New Testament, he never begins by calling us to do something. He always begins by telling us true things, and then as a response to that truth, then he tells us to do things. For you grammar nerds, you understand indicative and imperative. Indicative, that makes you sound bad. You're not nerdy if you like grammar. I'm sorry. It's good. It's good to like grammar. Indicative are statements of fact that tell us something that's true. Describe a situation. Imperatives are what tell you to do something. Well, in Christianity, again, different than every other religion, imperative comes first. Do this thing, and then indicative. You'll be considered this type of person. Christianity, gospel flips it on its head. No, the indicative comes first. Because you're trusting in Jesus, you are this type of person. Therefore, act this way. Act like who you are. The indicative always becomes before the imperative. And again, this is different from the way the world thinks. And it all starts with God changing our hearts. When we come to Jesus, he transforms us into a good tree. And then that's done. He doesn't command us to make ourselves into good trees. It's something he's done. Now what he says is, act like that good tree. And as we wrap up, we want to notice here, just so we're clear, just because you've been recreated as a new tree with a new heart in Christ, that doesn't mean you will completely stop sinning. We don't want to get that idea. We don't want to walk away thinking that we will be perfect trees, because that's not true. The Bible makes it clear sin will be part of your Christian life until you die or until Jesus returns. And if you're ever tempted to disbelieve that, look at the end of verse 45. What a helpful verse. Praise the Lord for it. Jesus says this, end of 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. One good gift God gives us is he connects your heart to your mouth. Praise the Lord for it. If he only connected your heart to your thoughts, you could cover that up, right? It could get into your head, and then you could say, oh, can't say that. Clean that up. I'm going to say a good thing. And then it'll look like I'm a really, really good tree that's perfect. But God doesn't do that. He connects your heart to your mouth. That's why, now listen, and I do this too. We all do this. But let's just recognize that this is not the way it is and help one another not do this. When I bark at my children, when I am sinfully harsh with them, instantly my reaction is always, well, but I had a long day, right? Or I've told them not to do this 100 times, and they know better. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, no, it's not, the problem's not, that word didn't come from inside me. That word came from outside of me, my circumstances. That's what created that word. That's not what Jesus says. He says that the words that your mouth speaks and my mouth speaks come out of our heart. That's where they come from. So when I bark at my kids in that way, I'm just getting to see what's in my heart. Praise the Lord for it. So this is a tool for us. We get to see the fact that when we speak these things, that's what was in our heart. That will remind you that you are far from a perfect tree if you see things that way. But because we are at least new trees, we have a tool here to fight against sin. So for example, if you're a Christian, when you're tempted to be sinfully angry with your kids the way that I am, what Jesus is telling us here is don't act like that old dead tree that you used to be. Act like the new tree that you really are in Christ and turn from that sin. When you're tempted to lust, don't act like that old dead tree that you used to be. Act like the new tree that you really are in Christ and turn from that sin. When you're tempted to forsake gathering with the church on the Lord's day, don't act like that old dead tree that you used to be. Act like the new tree that you are in Christ and turn from that sin. In short, as verse 46 says, don't just call Jesus Lord, but then negate his lordship by doing whatever you want to do. That's what old dead trees do. He says, act like the new tree that obeys its Lord. But the good news is, if you're a Christian, then you can turn from sin in these ways because you're a new tree with a new heart. The last thing that we'll say here, we need to recognize the Bible does give us a category of a person who claims to have Jesus, but they don't have a new heart. And for that person, their life isn't going to look like a new tree at all. It's going to look very clearly like that old dead tree. Look at the way Jesus characterizes these folks in verse 46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? This is the person who, when Jesus returns to judge the world, is going to get demolished, like that house at the end of our passage, or burned up, like John the Baptist talks about in Luke 3. And what Jesus says in our passage is that people should have figured out that they weren't really in Christ. People that are producing this kind of bad fruit should have realized this. Verse 43, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. And so given all this, one purpose of Jesus' teaching is for those of us who claim to be Christ to evaluate fruit in our lives. So one good question to ask is, okay, am I not just calling Jesus my Lord, but am I actually treating him that way? Is there fruit in my life? Another question you could ask, I asked this question this past week of myself. When's the last time I did something I really didn't want to do because of obedience to Jesus? Those are the types of questions that help us see, wait, is there fruit here? And every now and then we're supposed to inspect this. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, indeed, you fail to meet the test? This is something that's good to do. Now, that being said, I always have to make this nuance. That being said, there's some of you who as Christians have sensitive consciences, and you tend to be hypercritical when you're evaluating yourself and where you are in the Lord. For you, it's probably going to be more helpful to go to a fellow church member and to say to them, do you see fruit in my life? Do you see fruit of trust in Christ? And for those of us who tend to think that we're awesome all the time, like me, it's good for us to do the same. What do you see in my life that looks like bad fruit? Because I overlook it. But what do you see? This is a big reason why God gives us local churches to Christians. We say it this way in our confession of faith. The local church is the venue in which Christians are responsible to oversee one another's spiritual health. So inside of membership, we're like spiritual doctors for one another. We're supposed to be having these conversations about fruit that we see in one another's lives. And one of the best medicines we give each other is to remind each other that in Christ, we're no longer old dead trees. We've been made into new trees with new hearts. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Let's pray.